myself in relationships, and I was in a relationship that was super toxic, and the guy just like was just cheating on me with so many people, but this one girl was the one that broke it to me. No love songs.
Yeah, good. How are you doing?
I'm great. Nice photo in the background.
You're welcome. One of the best songs of 2021 right there. How good is that?
Thank you.
How's Sydney? Last we spoke, you were just packing up the Goldie.
I know. That feels like such a lifetime ago. I'm loving it. Like, it took a little bit of getting used to, like, it's so different, but I actually love it. I love the fast pace. So
when you say fast pace, are you not getting much downtime at all? I mean, you obviously wouldn't be at this period of your time about the album, but have you not been getting much downtime?
Not really. I mean, I didn't come to Sydney for downtime really. Like, I came here to really, you know, work and pump up this album, but also just the opportunities that come up in this city are pretty wild. So just been grabbing them, you know, hustling.
Yeah. When you say opportunities compared to, say, being on the Gold Coast, are we talking, are you able to do more in promo or shows or something? Because is that like the hub of the label example?
Yeah, I mean, there's just things that pop up that, you know, I can just duck into Sony and use the studio, or there's dinners that I like to be involved in, with, you know, I don't know, there's just, and the people as well, you know, I've got to meet some really great people, that are kind of like big dogs in the industry that, have really helped me and given me great advice. And not that there aren't those people on the Gold Coast, but just, yeah, I mean, my people are kind of here. My label, a lot of the work's here at the moment.
Now, this album, Cry Forever, which is out April 30, pretty epic. Take us through the scenes of setting this album up. How long have you been working on this for?
Oh, my God. It's been like 2 years or something. Like,
wow.
I kind of started writing it. I got a lot of the start of it, of the album, happened on a tour I did in Europe. I was touring Love Monster, and it was the first time I had a tour bus.
Sure.
And I got to like spend a lot of time on it, and just a lot of songs came out. I must have been going through some shit.
So if you had a lot of songs, how many songs did you originally have for this album? And you had to go, I can't have that one, can't have that one. How many did you have?
I think we cut it from, it would have been close to 50. Like,
whoa.
But that's like some of them, that is probably a good, like, maybe like 20 of those are just strong choruses, or one's like a really strong verse part, or, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're not all finished, but yeah, you know, a good like 30 would be finished songs that I really didn't want to part with.
Wow. Will there be a part two of Cry Forever?
Actually, that's a good idea. I've never thought about it.
You're welcome. You are welcome.
I reckon I could do that. I reckon that there would be enough to do that. But I don't know. I move pretty quickly, like, personally and like emotionally. So I'll probably start writing new ones that I like better.
Well, you never know. You just put them in the bank. You never know when you may need them. The title of the album, Cry Forever, why that title?
Well, I guess like there's a couple of reasons. Firstly, I don't think I've ever cried as much as I have in my whole life. Like these last 5 years of being an artist.
Yeah.
Both great times. Yeah. Some hard times, some lonely times, some just tired and fatigued times. But also I just remember I just broke into tears. It was like before Jimmy Fallon or something like that. And my partner was like, you know, what's wrong? And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I don't even know why I'm upset. And he's like, oh, this is going to happen. Like, this is your life now. So just cry forever if you have to. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Cry forever.
Are you still, I mean, you're obviously a very successful Aussie artist. Are you still in that moment where you just don't believe and you don't really think this is actually happening? Because I feel that for Aussie artists, it's really hard. You know, you've got to go to the States, like it's just madness, like Five Sauce, for example. But are you finding it really, I can't believe I'm in this zone and I'm doing what I'm doing and I'm traveling to where I'm traveling?
All the time. Yeah. I've tried to be really good with that whole imposter syndrome and really keep it at bay. But it took a few years to get to become the person who's like, no, I'm meant to be here. Like, and I'm good enough to be.
Yeah.
But it definitely took some time because I got thrown into it so quick. And when you go from just working 9 to 5 to like going to play James Corden and Jimmy Fallon, it's like, that's normal to be like, I'm not meant to be here. I'm well out of my league.
It is
wild. I still meet people and I'm like, I can't believe I like have your number in my phone. I can't believe we just talk.
Yeah. And that's I think that's a really good attitude, just to have that normal, hey, I'm Amy Shark. Yes. But I'm proud of doing what I'm doing now and I am achieving what I'm doing. But you're not at the level where a lot of artists are, and they're really cocky and they're real, like they're up there. And it's good to have just that, I'm stoked of where I am in my career. That is a really, really good attitude.
I think like I'm lucky to be here. Like, I mean, I had given up. So
yeah,
anything past this point is just an added bonus, let's face it.
I think I could be wrong. I think you're going to be around for a very long time, so don't worry about that. No, I'm sure you will be. Hey, there's a few songs I want to ask you about on this new album. Amy Shark.
Sacrificed all my friends, birthdays, weddings, everything, and it's heartbreaking, but this is my dream.
Talking about the song, how is it writing about yourself? I was listening to it and I actually got the goosebumps. I got a bit, oh, this is a really important message in here. Who are we explaining this to? Who are we talking to in this?
Yeah, I mean, all my songs usually stem from one particular or two particular people. But this one, the more I wrote about it, the more it was just such a bigger topic, and it was about so many different parts of what I've gone through. And it's nothing crazy. Like, that's the thing that about music, you know, I'm not, just because I write the song and put it out there, I'm not saying, oh, I'm so hard done by. It's just, this is what I do. Like, I write songs and the last like 15 to 20 years building into where I am now hasn't all been great. It's been really hard to manage a lot of different personalities and people in my life. Mm-hmm. And that song was the best way that I could kind of pen it. You know, it wasn't an easy one to do, and I wasn't even going to put on the album, to be honest.
Right.
But I felt like it was just, I don't know. I would be a fraud if I kept that back, you know, because who I am as an artist is a very upfront, honest person, song. So
in our past chats, we've spoken about that. You've had the tough times of getting to where you wanted it to be. And yes, you were playing, you know, the pub down the road or, you know, wherever you were performing back in those years. But I think it's really important that we hear that style of song, because a lot of us have been in that situation, and me trying to remember a lyric in there where you just wanted a hug and you just wanted that support. And so many people I've got goosies now. So many people have been in that zone, and I've been in that zone personally, and you took me into that moment of, I remember when I just wanted my dad to give me a hug, and holy Jesus, gosh, goosey. But that is the art of music. Yeah, I'm glad it's out, and I'm glad I got to hear it. I really am. It's an incredible.
And that's exactly what you're saying, and those feelings and the connecting with it is exactly what made me want to put it out. Yeah. It's like, well, there'll be people that, even though I don't think about this when I write ever, I don't think, people will relate to this, because it's always me. I'm worried that people won't relate because it's so personal to me. But
yeah.
The more my team heard it, they were like, Amy, you need to put this out because yeah. it's strong and it's mm-hmm. it's on another planet, really. So yeah, I'm glad that I did.
It's not about always being able to bounce around and jump around and dance and carry on. Like, you just take us into a zone and we can reflect. And that is the style of songwriting, is to tell a story, we can connect. Which brings me to the next single, Baby Steps. Is this you in early days? When we're getting into it and before we are where we are now?
Oh yeah, this is Amy at her complete lowest and most reckless.
on the Goldie.
Yeah, it's not a place to be so reckless. Yeah, it was a really fun one to write, actually. I just like, it's easy to go back there. You know, it's not all that long ago and I keep running into people who remind me of those times.
Do you go away?
Well, it's good. It led to Baby Steps. So I remember having to be on the Gold Coast before I had a big flight to New York. And I ran into this person and I sat on the plane and I was like, oh, and you know, I mean, this is just me. I digest, it takes me so long and I go through and I just rehash everything that this person has told me. And then once I got to New York, super jet lagged and I just started writing Baby Steps and I know that's why I know that
because I ran her. I love the guitar start, that sounds really cool, and it's kind of okay, here we go, we're about to go, oh, we're going a different angle, and I really love the suspense. And when you're hearing a song and you think, right, we're about to go up here, and then it goes, oh, we're going this way, and I love that creativity in songs when you're able to do that.
Yeah. I mean, that song, I just, because it wasn't actually like a full single, it was more just like a drop, you know, drop song here.
Yeah.
And I knew that's the song it was going to be. I was like, sort of like, fuck it. Let's just really like, let's have that instrumental go on for another bar because it's so good. Like the guitar is so great. And I could just, it was the first time, I don't usually think of things like this when I'm writing, but I really could see us playing this live and it just being going mental and just running around the stage like a crazy person. So yeah, I really let loose on that one.
Well, it also sounds pretty epic as well. Hey, the other single that we haven't heard yet is That Girl. Is it you as in That Girl, or are we referencing another one?
We're referencing another one.
Okay. This sounds intriguing. I like this.
That Girl was such a fun song to write too. You'll know it when.
Well, I've heard that one too, and I'm interested to hear the story on that one.
Okay, well, so basically, it's hilarious because when you look back on your younger self in relationships, and I was in a relationship that was super toxic, and the guy just like was just cheating on me with so many people, but this one girl was the one that broke it to me, and she was one of them, and I couldn't get over it. I just was more obsessed with her and why he chose her than anything else, and it was always her fault. And all my friends were like, but you know, it takes two to tango, like he's just to blame. And I'm like, no, she tricked him, like she's, and I was blinded, you know. I was like, everything is about that girl. She ruined my life. I don't even think I was mad at him that much. Like, you know, I was more mad at her, and it's so dumb. Wow. Like, you know, I was just like, anything, you know, I just wanted to believe him, and I wanted to not believe that he did that. You know, I just wanted to believe that was her fault. So that's where the song comes from.
And that happens so much in life of that exact thing. Wow. Let's talk, if I can, about, and you mentioned at the start, the picture behind me, Love Songs Ain't For Us. Oh my gosh. This is one of the greatest songs of 2021 right behind me. This is seriously epic. Take us through the scenes of that. I would probably say I'm obviously a fan of all your music. This would have to be my fave. This is the song.
That's so great.
I honestly mean that. I love this. Take us through putting this together. And of course, with Ed Sheeran being behind this as well. What a wonderful moment of that.
I still can't believe I still think of that day and I'm like, wow, God, did that day happen? You know, sitting in this beautiful studio with this massive superstar who's just one of the greatest songwriters that we'll see in our time. And it actually, you know, within 10 minutes, I felt like Ed and I had just known each other for years and just good mates and started talking about, you know, because it's actually quite hard. It's hard to write about love when it's not in either a steamy way, like a hot love or heartbreak. It's never like, hey, we're just comfortable finding the person we have connected with. You know, that's a really hard thing to write about it and not be boring, you know?
Yeah.
So, and Ed is so good at that, you know, and we're just talking about that feeling of finding someone who you can just be yourself with and just like, it's worth the pain of letting your guard down and trusting someone in hopes that you find that, you know, in someone. And Love Songs and for us, it was just like such a great title because we're not gushy. We're not lovey. Like, you know, my partner and I, we're not like, we don't walk around holding hands and like being all gushy. It's like, but the love is so strong. Like it's like deeper than that type of thing. So, and we had the song within, that a few hours, I think. And we knew it was special because we kept playing it. And even when Ed invited my partner and I to have dinner with him that night, we were playing it at his house. And so I knew he liked it. And Keith, it was just a no-brainer because, you know, I'd met Keith in 2018 when we performed at the ARIA Awards together.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, and we just had such a good, fun time. It just gave me such great advice. And I kind of, anytime I meet these brilliant people and I'm lucky to be in their, like, in their sort of energy, I like try and keep them in a place that, you know, we sort of become friends and make sure I always like keep in contact with them and stuff. So Keith just turned out to be a great mate and I sent him the song. I'm like, hey, I wrote this with Ed Sheeran. Would you be interested in putting your little touch on it? And he was like, of course, I love it. Sounds great. Thanks for thinking of me.
I'm glad you said that because I was going to ask you, how did Keith come on to the song? Was the original thought being just you only when you were putting this together with Ed?
Yeah, it was me. And then Ed added some amazing harmonies and I almost wish he didn't because,
You
know, he came off this, big record of the collaborations record that he did. So there was no way he was about to do another one.
Yeah.
So I knew I wasn't going to be able to have Ed. Once I heard a male voice on it, it got me thinking. I was like, it does sound really great with that anchor in it. When you can't have Ed, it's like, well, needs to be someone else really well respected around like the world, you know, someone who's just a class act and who's going to do wrong justice and someone who I'm going to trust. I don't have time to hold someone's hand through it. I need a pro.
Absolutely. You know?
Yeah. So Keith, no brainer.
It was absolutely outstanding. There's a new tour coming up for you, the Cry Forever Tour, which kicks off in June. How are the plans coming? What a busy life you have right now. You're about to drop the album and you got to plan the tour. Are you getting any sleep?
I try. I have intervals.
Yeah. What, little nana naps?
Yeah. Yep. But it's so good, man. Like I've been, you know, we've all been so bored in the music industry for a year, like, you know, not being able to do stuff. So even though I feel like, wow, I'm so busy right now, like there's so much every day, I'm trying to understand if that's just because it actually is super busy or am I just out of practice, you know, because I know I was really busy before COVID.
Yeah.
A lot of
that time in the last year, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also I haven't had planes usually I'd be this busy and then I have to fly to freaking LA and then get to like Europe and get back home for something. It's like, it's actually not that bad, Amy. You know what I mean? Like you haven't had to get on flights.
Yeah, it's not that bad, Amy. I mean, calm down. It's not really not that bad. Next, your next song will be titled Drama.
Oh, yeah. It's dramatic.
I love it. I love it. Well, the new album, Cry Forever, it's coming. Then tour details will stick up at random30.com.au. Amy Shark, thanks so much for hanging.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Good chat.